And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Coming up on The Glue Guys today, we will review the Nets draft night, including Landry Shamet. Hey, wow. New Net. And as well as Garrett Temple, no longer a Net. We will talk about it all while the cloud of James Harden continues to hang over the Nets franchise. Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello. Ugh, off key again.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com, The Athletic, $1 a week. Get behind that paywall. TheAthletic.com.
Yeah, just do it.
we're waiting. / Glue Guys. This is truly the time to get behind that paywall because there's like 18 different draft reviews from Hollinger, from Sam Vecenie. Seth Partnow will probably write something at some point. Seth Partnow, who friend of the show. There's so much to dig into, as well as Alex Schiffer, who covers the Nets for The Athletic, who we continue to duck, and we refuse to have him back on the show, particularly if Brian's here. Brian, how are you?
I'm here. I'm back.
I have an ambitious piece of gum in my mouth that I have to release from my mouth. I'm becoming such a confident podcaster that I was like, I can podcast
with
gum.
Have a jawbreaker while I podcast. Yeah. It's a big one. Bubblicious, eh?
No, it's a double up extra. A pound extra.
Double up. Okay.
Yeah. So how are you, Bri? Man, draft night. Wow. It was exciting.
Really thought that James Harden trade was going to happen. And then, you know, somewhere around the end of the 18th pick, Woj pops in to talk about a Nets trade. And
ooh, spicy.
And I was disappointed. But I mean, not disappointed. Landry Shamet's great. It's a solid utility player, you know. Who needs Sadiq Bey when you have Landry Shamet?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, obviously. So we are aware of the Anthony Pucher report. Pooch has said that a verbal agreement is in place between the Brooklyn Nets and the Houston Rockets, the Houston Rockets, as I will forever refer to them.
Speaking of doubling up, you know something about this. Pooch has doubled down on this take. So, he's gone. You double up, you double down, you just double. You double trouble, the two of you.
He's basically, he's saying right on Twitter that the Rockets have kind of gone dark in their communications, but from what the Nets understand, that there is a verbal agreement. Obviously, Pooch has been right before, so we'll continue to monitor and wait. We've heard before there's someone else on Twitter who is like a Clippers reporter that everyone's referenced. I forget his name, but he has said that the agreement won't happen until November 22nd, which is what, Sunday or Monday?
3 days. 3 days from now.
3 days from now. So we sit and we wait. But the Nets are making interesting moves, and I think the Landry Shamet trade, it can be viewed a lot of different ways. Like, if you think about it, one, it could just be simply viewed as the Nets are not confident that a rookie will be able to contribute in a meaningful way to the Kyrie Irving, KD-led Nets. So let's grab a vet, a young vet, but a vet that can play 15 minutes a game for us, similar to the Bruce Brown trade, right? Like, Musa, I guess, could be considered more talented than Bruce Brown. But Landry Shamet certainly is going to play more than a rookie would.
Mm.
But it also, from the James Harden angle, the Nets are stacking players on their roster that are cheap and young, that are proven, that could be flipped forward to Houston in a James Harden deal. Because now, instead of having Sadiq Bey, who the Nets could have had, who is valuable, but in this draft in particular, we're like, no one was that thrilled, and particularly it's the 19th pick, so there's a reason why he went 19. Landry Shamet probably has more value in a trade right now than Sadiq Bey would, or the 19th pick overall anyways. So if you're building like the LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen trade, well, now Landry Shamet's part of the deal. And Landry Shamet was just in a trade two seasons ago, a key part that brought Tobias Harris to the 76ers. So like there's value in the NBA. Landry Shamet's valuable enough to also be in a deal with, I know, Luke Kennard. But let's talk about the man, Landry Shamet, Brian.
Oh, my gosh.
What are your Landry Shamet thoughts? I mean, I think he feels like a guy who would actually, like, if he maintains on the roster, he's a guy that's going to fit with the Brooklyn Nets. But have you enjoyed your Landry Shamet experience in your life?
So having done not a ton of research, because sure, I'm still cautiously optimistic that he is part of the aforementioned James Harden trade. I'm all in on this James Harden trade now. I've completely turned the corner. And the more that I think about it, I was like, you know, I'm not only am I a fan of memes, I'm also a guy that's got a Nets podcast. What would be better than going like all in on the super meme? Like, this is, you've heard of the super team. This is the super meme, Mike.
I'm going to plant our flag, because something that has been happening with a all too great frequency is that we say things on the show and then some Nets reporter tweets out an idea that they have
a week later,
of something that originated on the show. I can list
the airing
multiple
of grievances. Here it is.
Multiple times that has happened where this show,
I want to see you show up in their replies, Mike. Enough of this subtweeting on the podcast. I want you to pop in the replies.
Here's the deal. I said on this show a month and a half ago, while basketball was being played in the bubble, that Garrett Temple would not be back with the Brooklyn Nets next year.
That's not a hot take. Well,
No. But I sussed out how he was responding to questions. He was doing it in a very non-committal way to the future of the franchise. And I knew money-wise that he wouldn't be on here. And then we suddenly see writers talking about how Garrett Temple probably won't be.
Drop some names. I want some names.
I called out for a Landry Shamet trade. I originally said it would be Dinwiddie for Pat Beverly and Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet is here now. So Sean Marks is
part of it. Was right. You got part of it right.
So I'm going to say this now. We're going to do a segment every week on this show, if James Harden becomes part of the team, where we're going to power rank the three stars. We're going to be tracking who's doing the best, and we'll determine what best is. But this isn't like a news item, but I'm saying it because people also tend to steal.
Wait, I'm confused. The three stars, who's doing we're tracking. What are we doing?
We're power ranking as the thing is going on. We're going to power rank them consistently, rank them 1 to 3. Who's doing the best for the Nets? But best is going to be the way how we interpret it. It's not just on the court. This isn't player of the week. No, it's going to be who said the most ridiculous thing to the media, who treated people the worst. That means that maybe you're the best.
Got it.
And we'll work it out. But I'm saying this now because I know it's going to get stolen by
what? What's going to get stolen? What are you? Anyways, I can't even. This is some air grievances.
I happen to see someone write about something called the Dinwiddie Dilemma when we did a show called the LeVert Wine.
Wow. And
we own alliterations. Okay, Brian? We own it. No one else is allowed to do it alliterations involving Nets players and trade interest.
Jeez. Okay? There it is. So speaking of which.
None of it's going out there. Okay, this is staying in house.
I can't believe this.
I won't name names.
I can't believe this.
Anyways, how you doing?
I'm good. And anyways, Landry Shamet, apparently the meme is that he's bad in the playoffs. But
who cares?
But that is otherwise.
So is James Harden.
Yeah. True. Big true. But yeah, so anyways, that's the deal. I've learned enough to know that Landry Shamet is seen as underwhelming by the teams that he's been playing on recently, at least because of their playoff woes. The Clippers I'm speaking about. But I don't know. Heck, he's got good 3-point percentages and all that. So, you know, and he's also young. He's way younger than I thought. He's only 22. So he's got an older man's look. He's got that 1,000-mile stare. So I thought he was older, but he's not. So lots of room to grow. But here's the other thing. I'm not going to do enough research on him until I actually am like believing that he's going to be part of the roster long term and not flipped as a coupon in this James Harden shopping frenzy.
Yeah, so I think if you're sitting here and you're wondering, well, wait, they just traded for him. Why would they then send him to Houston? Landry Shamet is three things that Houston probably likes. He's a shooter. He's productive and young. So that is already three things. And then the fourth thing, he's cheap. And Tillman Fertitta, the guy who owns the Houston Rockets, if he decides that he is going to allow James Harden to be traded, because ultimately it will be up to Fertitta to kind of allow that to happen. Fertitta's, I mean, if you don't know this by now, the guy is hemorrhaging money. He's a billionaire who all of his money is tied up, mostly all of his money, in casinos and restaurants. He is the king of bubblegum shrimp. Mm. He's the bubblegum shrimp king.
Actually, bubblegum shrimp? That's the restaurant?
Yeah. He actually owns bubblegum
shrimp. That is a restaurant that seems more popular, well, mostly because of Forrest Gump, but like, I've only ever seen the one in Times Square, and it's not, I mean, like, have you ever seen another bubblegum shrimp? Is there more? Where are they?
There has to have been one more I've seen in my life, a bubblegum shrimp. I mean, I owned a bubblegum shrimp hat as a young boy, though I don't think I actually ever ate at a restaurant. Gump? Huh?
Pre-Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
How young? I don't know.
Bubblegum shrimp didn't exist pre-Forrest Gump.
It didn't? The whole brand was completely fabricated? That was made up in the movie?
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong about this.
Now you're blowing my mind. I'm pretty sure
it's based on the movie. It was inspired by the 1994 film.
Are you kidding?
Forrest Gump.
Why did I think that? Like, I guess I just
that
assumed
it just existed.
It was a like. How could you make a whole actual restaurant based on Forrest Gump?
There are 42 Bubba Gump shrimps in the world.
Oh my lord!
There's a bubblegum shrimp in Qatar or Qatar, depending on how you want.
What's funny about it is it's not even a restaurant in the movie. It's just a shrimp fishery. You know, they're just catching the shrimp.
It's just Bubba's, his shrimp.
Wow.
Bubba Gump's.
Has there ever been another thing like that where they just like yanked a chain restaurant straight from the.
TGI Fridays. Did that come from Cocktail or the movie Cocktail? Or did it exist before the movie Cocktail? And let's see the history of TGI Fridays.
Let's not get too lost on this.
1965.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Here's the history of TGI Fridays.
Good.
Alan Stillman opened the first TGI Fridays, by the way, on the east side of Manhattan, near the Queensboro Bridge.
No kidding.
But the line in Wikipedia after that he opened the first one in 1965, this is it. He lived in a neighborhood with many airline stewardesses, fashion models, secretaries, and other young single people on the east side of Manhattan, and hoping that a bar would help him meet women.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You know, if you want to see it in the world, you build it yourself. That's the thing. That's what you do. It was his pain point. You know, he lived the pain point.
Can I flip that around in that a man builds bar to lure women is not like
a salacious headline professional's way of viewing that wiki.
So sorry.
Absolute cretin builds whole restaurant to lure young singles.
Lure young airline stewardesses, single stewardesses and fashion models.
Do you want to get this back on track with me, Mike?
But just real quick, okay. Have you been to a TGI Fridays?
I must have at some point, but not in recent memory.
They are fine, though I have yet to see a fashion model.
This is the 65. This is the 65 version of it.
Also, this is what I love about 1965 is that at the time, the airline stewardesses and fashion models were on the same plane. Like, not the same plane. Bad
right,
pun,
right.
You know, level playing field.
I get it. I'm with you.
That was because, you know, we love to reference Mad Men on the show, Mohawk Airlines and right. Pan Am. That was what the brand was strong back then. Anyway,
yeah, Yeah, that's true. Do you want to do some mail? Will that help us get back on track?
Real quick, Landry Shamet, why he would be in a Houston Rockets trade.
Okay, finish that off.
Maybe I'll make a note in the description about, hey, if you don't want to hear about TGI Fridays.
No, let them deal with that.
let the people sit through and enjoy that.
Yeah.
He's cheap. And if you're trading James Harden and you're the Houston Rockets, you don't want you don't want Torian Prince, really, right? Like, Caris LeVert's contract is good, so you'd want him. Dinwiddie's contract is good. Jared Allen, you're going to have to pay him eventually, but he's cheap for now. Landry Shamet's making only $2 million a year or something like that, which obviously in the NBA is a pittance. That's a good deal. Like, if you're the Rockets, particularly if you're kind of interested in still being competitive and not tanking, because the thing about the Rockets, they gave up 2 first-round picks, I think, and like a pick swap to get Russell Westbrook and to give up Chris Paul to the Thunder. So the tanking picture that maybe you would think the Rockets want to do, they can't do. So part of what the Nets need to do is either give the Rockets a really great young asset like Ben Simmons, which of course they're not going to get Ben Simmons, but that level of young asset, or just like a lot of really good players to make it so that the Rockets are still a good team and they still can make moves happen, but they're not expensive. And if you built a trade with, like, I mean, think about it. Landry Shamet, Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Torian Prince, and Jared Allen. That's a starting five, right? Like, that's like not a good team, but that's a starting five. So you could sell it to Rockets ownership and the fan base and be like, hey, listen, James didn't want to be here. We just got 5 quality players, one of whom in LeVert has like all-star potential, and another of whom, Dinwiddie, was nearly an all-star. Like, we just accumulated all these really good players. It's so sad we had to say goodbye to James Harden, but he just didn't want to play here anymore. So I think that's kind of why this may happen, and why Landry Shamet's on the team. Though, if he was on the team, I think he would fit beautifully. He's one of the better shooters in the NBA. I know last season wasn't that good, but his first season was super strong. And I kind of just think that Clippers team wasn't for him.
Mm.
It was an awkward
Any team. Reason in particular, or just wasn't it?
No real point guard. You're relying on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for shot creation. And those guys create for themselves, but they're not like...
True.
They're not LeBron James. Like, LeBron creates for others. They're not... Like, I'll even go to like De'Aaron Fox. Like, they're not even like at that level of shot creators for others. They're shot creators for themselves. So a guy like Landry Shamet is dependent upon someone like, oh, Kyrie Irving, oh, Kevin Durant, to create a shot for him.
Mm.
Let's go to mail. Oh, wait, let's do this. Let's take a quick break and then we'll go to mail.
Oh, great.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, let's dive into the mailbagnetspod@gmail.com. Brian?
Got some really good ones.
I love it.
Got some really good ones. Michael Fuchs, Trebuy. Great name, Fuchs. Says, check the tapes. That's the second time you guys discussed Platoon, and both times Brian was surprised that Smells did not see it before. And it's funny you say this, because I did actually have a weird deja vu recollection of having that exact conversation, but it's glad that somebody was there to catch it. He says, is there something wrong with me that I remember your conversations better than you do? Please, before this comes up again in the future, can Smeltz go watch Platoon? Smeltz, it is for free. Go on Roku. Just type in Platoon on your little clicker. and it should pop up on
it's
one
on
of these
a Roku
free,
channel.
Yeah, on a free one of those things.
Okay, I'll right? I will not do that. But
wait, top of the list,
I will not do that. I'm a father of two. How am I going to carve out Platoon into my lifestyle? I'm watching The Crown. Have you seen The Crown?
Well, there is your problem. Good. Well, there is your problem right there, buddy. You gotta trim that fat, dog. Next up, it's your boy. This is Matt Parker, big friend of the show. Big friend of the show. He's got a nice, long, thoughtful one that we can really dig into here. So, Matt writes, the Nets are going to need one or two guys on minimum contracts that can actually contribute to winning. Play 8 to 10 minutes a game in the regular season, maybe a bunch more if/when a starter gets hurt or needs rest, might even have some key playoff moments. They'll need 5 to 6 of those guys if any of these trades actually happen. So here's a list of the guys likely to take a min contract I like for those spots. Would love to hear your thoughts or anyone you think should be on this list. Okay. Yep. So I'm going to fire off the names and, you know, if you want to stop me midway or just, you know, whatever. It'll be really off the cuff. It'll be great.
By the way, this is a really good list of names. And Matt, this is like should be just an article. These names.
You should type this up and send it somewhere. JK, he did that to us. He's here. Number one, Jared Dudley, obviously. Number two, Tyler Johnson, your boy. We've seen him. We have a good look. He's got an in. Number three, Jeff Green, the eternal gamble. Number four, Andre Roberson. Maybe he can get some of his wing death back. That's defense. 5, Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, the return. 6, Kyle Korver, at long last. 7,
fax machine.
Patty Connaughton.
Patty
Connaughton.
Let's go
with
down to
his Irish curse.
Let's go down to the TGI Fridays.
Why
not? Pick up some airline stewardesses.
Yes.
And models.
Let's drink a green Miller on St. Pat. Anyways, 8, number is Travion. Yeah, well, I was trying to.
Guinness.
Yeah, and a green Guinness on St. Patty's Day and put a Carter in the meter.
What's the number two Irish beer? Is it Smithwick's? Is that an Irish beer?
Smithwick's is big. They have, was it Harp? You can see that around. What do they got? I don't know.
Sorry.
It's Guinness or nothing out there. Sure. Travion Graham is on the list. And then we got Semi Ojeleye.
Vince
Carter. Vince Carter coming to number 10. And he says, I know, I can dream. Travion Graham.
And he adds, there's a couple more. He added Taj Gibson.
Yes, sorry.
Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis isn't going to get the minimum. And then Theo Pinson. The Knicks have just cut Theo Pinson.
I'll tell you who I like on this list. Big time is Travion Graham, obviously.
Of course.
I mean, obviously Jared Dudley.
So
how fun would it be to have Jared Dudley back?
I'm going to eliminate a few off of this list. Vince Carter. And even Matt admits it's not going to happen. Vince Carter's done, right? As much as I would love to see that beautiful bald head just sitting on the bench and like doing an occasional dunk and seeing Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden be so happy that Vince Carter's on their team, he's done. He's getting that TV money now, which is probably not as much as minimum
sweet.
NBA
money. That is sweet. Sweet compared to the professional basketball player money, for sure.
So he's all, but like, I think he's done. Pat Connaughton apparently is going to get, I think Zach Lowe said it on his most recent podcast with Brian Windhorst, that Connaughton's going to get like a little cash, like $4 million a year deal type thing. And that's obviously, that's above the minimum. And that's why we're talking about minimum guys. And I'll eliminate Roberson because he's Spencer Dinwiddie's brother-in-law or something, or Dinwiddie's engaged to Roberson's sister, or Roberson's engaged to Dinwiddie's sister.
Well, so what? You can't.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think Spencer, our beloved Spencer, is going to be on this team.
Oh. So, well, then what? So, why does that matter?
It's a little messy. A little messy.
Are you kidding me? That's the reason? Is that the familial overlap?
Yeah. I think the familial. I think. It's is it blood or money for Andre Roberson?
Is he the Capulets? What is this?
So I'm going to eliminate him. On this list, I don't want Tyler Johnson. I understand that he scored points in Orlando. I don't want him on my basketball team, particularly if they are going to have KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. Our boy Tyler ain't the guy. Jared Dudley's interesting. The thing I'd worry about Jared Dudley is that he is so focused on becoming a media star that I don't know if I really want him around.
Oh, boy.
KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. People who don't.
You're saying too many podcasts. He's done.
Yeah. He's on too many podcasts. He's DM'd us once before.
Dude, you were airing it. My gosh.
I love him. And we respect his defense, actually. That's what we liked about him. I love that he went eye to eye with Ben Simmons in the playoffs 2 seasons ago. I don't know if I want someone who's so focused on becoming a media member, like being a part of this team. This team needs to be like the KGB. Like they need to keep it in. You know, I don't want to have to hear any leaks. And Jared Dudley is just a talker. Wow. You know, but people love him. Like LeBron loved him dearly with the Lakers. So
hey, what's Ed Davis doing? Where's he at?
Yeah, so I like Ed Davis. The thing is, he's never really been a power forward recently. He's basically been a center, and we just don't have center minutes. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm planning for, obviously.
Sweet baby boy Jared Allen's gone. Come on. I've always liked Semi Ojeleye. Semi Ojeleye was one of my draft favorites when he was out in the draft. He hasn't lived up to my standards, what I would have liked to seen for our boy Semi. The name on this list that I love the most is Taj Gibson. The Knicks just declined Taj Gibson's contract, the team option that they had on him. He's from Brooklyn. He's known as like a tough guy, locker room leader type, you know, like a cagey veteran. He's a power forward who can also play center. He's not going to play that many minutes for you, but he's like the kind of guy who, if you have him on the end of your bench, and particularly if you're playing a big team, maybe he plays like 18 minutes that game. KD plays the three and Taj Gibson plays more of the four in some units with, you know, DeAndre Jordan. That's an old surly man, big man lineup that I really like. So I love him. Bobby Portis, I think, is going to get a deal. And Theo Pinson, they should just hire Theo Pinson to be like a developmental assistant coach and ensure that Theo Pinson's part of the organization for the rest of his life because he's the greatest human alive.
True that.
Do you like anyone else on this list? Is like, just Jeff Green do it for you?
You know what's funny? We were just talking about, what's his face? Patrick Williams. Well, and I dumped on him in our draft preview. And then lo and behold, he's the belle of the ball. But I was, you know, I'd been listening to the rumor mill about Patrick Williams just like catch a fever pitch that I had just never seen. A guy went from basically like late teens to top four, like within 2 weeks. Like what the hell was going on there? What like workout went on with that dude? Cause anyways, the reason that he comes to mind is because I compared him to Jeff Green, and that might be incredibly accurate. I think it probably is.
I love that comparison. So if you watched the draft last night, one of the highlights to me was Patrick Williams's personal story is that his mom runs a flower shop. And that he would like go on flower shop deliveries.
Yeah.
But then they were like to kind of prove his bona fides or bona fides, however you want to say that.
I go fides, yeah.
They were like, he was like putting flowers into the truck and he's like, you want to keep the truck kind of cool so the flowers don't go bad. It's like, well, yeah, it's not like.
Well, unless they're tropical flowers, Patrick, you know,
that's not a trade secret about the flowers. Give me something more, Patrick. Give me like,
unless it's a Venus flytrap, you know, which you may want to have at a higher temperature.
This is a little shop of horrors here, you know, give me some info.
But Patrick, what about the cactuses? We just got a shipment of cactuses. They're dying.
Cacti, Brian.
Come on. But anyways, yeah, I thought that was interesting
I think I haven't done the analysis. But having gone to Syracuse and having watched Dion Waiters, Waiters was a bench player at Syracuse. And I know Florida State is super talented. You know, they had Devin Vassell, who went to the Spurs in the 11th pick or whatever. They're a talented basketball team. I think it's a bad sign if you're a bench player in college. And I know he was a freshman, whatever. That's a bad sign. Usually if you're good, like Cole Anthony, okay? So Cole Anthony goes to the Magic at 15. I understand it was ugly this year and he was overrated as a recruit. He was the best player on North Carolina, a bad North Carolina team, but he played. think back to Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams was like a bit player for North Carolina when he played, and he ended up being a bit player in the NBA. Waiters was a bench scorer for Syracuse, drafted third overall, ended up being a bench scorer in the NBA. So, like, I kind of think if you're not a starter, maybe you shouldn't get drafted fourth overall.
Maybe. There it is. Shots fired.
Hey. Shots at 19-year-old Patrick Williams. Yeah.
How do you feel about your boy Denny? Denny. Are you excited?
Denny.
Are you excited for Denny?
Obviously, I grew up a Wizards fan. Denny has awoken, you know, the Jewish spirit inside of me.
Of course.
Even though
which was not lying dormant at all. It was sitting there wide awake, white knuckle.
But that was the most Israeli. So I went on Birthright, which if you don't know what Birthright is, it's the trip where all of us teenage Jews are sent over to Israel.
Like everyone knows what Birthright is.
Well, the point of Birthright is to like fall in love with Israel. And actually part of it is like you should fall in love with another person on the trip. They actually literally hope that you find your soulmate.
Weird. Yeah.
That's a weird vibe.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're like, for sure. And you're not about that. But that was the most Israeli scene, just like gigantic bottles of wine and then like not a lot of emotion in that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see when Pokusevski got drafted?
I did.
They were just like,
and he was in Greece. That was
like
so good.
Like a one bedroom just apartment. Was so, they were just around a circular table.
Dude, I'm trying to think of what the vibe is in that. Like, it was like in the plastic furniture. Like, it was so good. I mean, it was like
a Borat. It was
It was a Borat situation.
Like if Borat was drafted by the NBA, they would just so be good. In like that environment. I mean, the guy's been a pro basketball player, but I'm excited for him. I love him. One quick draft wrap up. Paul Reed, who I've loved dearly, the Nets could have drafted, and they went for, I actually should look up his name. I mean, we are a Nets podcast, and there's a second round pick that they took, and his name is Reggie Perry. Actually, I'm kind of intrigued by Reggie Perry, having read about him. Got some length to him, a scorer, rebounder, has a little shooting touch, potentially. That super duper intrigues me.
Do you imagine like how much things have changed that we're, you know, we used to live and die on second round picks not too long ago. You know, that was all we had.
And man. I mean, but Marks continues to trade the first round picks. He has recently traded. So that I think to kind of link back to Landry Shamet, people on Nets Twitter were disappointed that they made the trade. I think because a lot of people miss draft picks. Draft picks are fun. You get a rookie, you hope that he's something. And obviously like, Sadiq Bey could end up being a better player in the NBA over their career than Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet's a better player right now. And then again, we talked about the James Harden piece. Like, I think he's part of the deal if the deal is happening. And I think Houston has indicated it's like you need to give us more than just like what you have and then like a mid first round pick and first round picks in the future. But we'll see. You know,
we shall see. We had some other emails. I apologize. We're probably not going to get to them.
No.
You want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
Okay. I had one from Hal Hodes. Psych Hal. thanks for reaching out. Thanks to everybody for hitting us up at netspod@gmail.com. Really appreciate it. It's so nice when we get stuff that isn't spam mail in there once in a while. Says, hey, glue guys. Here's how I have been thinking about the offseason. It sort of dovetails into some of the conversations you were previewing before things got crazy. Maybe I'm taking a bit of an old guy / non-analytical / sports radio approach to watching the Nets, but this is how I've been thinking about it. Last year, with KD and Kyrie mostly injured, the Nets players were Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, and # culture. The next man up, some greater than parts attitude, was an integral part of the team. Did the Nets already cut that guy when they signed KD and Kyrie, or maybe he was just moved to a bench role? If # culture is still on the team, he's using this as a, like, imagine # culture as a player itself, you know? Yeah. It's good. It's illustrative. Big if. How
Which probably will be the name of a prospect in 17 years.
Yeah. Okay. If you have another kid, culture smelts.
# culture.
It's got a nice
The # has to be there.
Oh, good. Yeah, true. Yeah. How does that guy get his minutes? What trade scenarios? And then he goes on. So anyways, thank you. You get the idea. So, appreciated Hal. He's the basic, like, the summary is culture has been the most fun Nets thing to root for the last few seasons, and it's sad to see that go. And this is the conversation that we always have, Mike, around it seems like every year here, while new jewels are being dangled in front of us, or carrots those on sticks,
dangly, you know, jewels,
hot dogs on, whatever it is, whatever you like most that are being dangled in front of you. that's what's happening to us. Seems like every off season now, last off season, it really happened. So the whole paradigm shifted into, like, basically now I assume every rumor for MVP caliber player is going to happen. That's where I'm at. That's how fast I've adapted to the new paradigm. Yeah.
So I'll turn this around, Brian, for a second.
All right, flip it on me.
So the Nets had a certain type of culture that led them to get, you know, D'Angelo Russell and to grow Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and Jared Allen. That's a certain kind of culture. It's about development and small steps. They are importing, frankly, championship culture. I mean, like, I know people love to shit on Kyrie Irving, the dude's a champion. He won with LeBron, but he won with LeBron. I mean, so what? He won with someone. He's a champion. Durant is a champion. MVP. You know, like, they both have their own culture that has been successful. And so, like, sure, like, the fun, cute developmental culture that the Nets were a part of, that's dead. That's gone. I mean, I think there's still elements of it. Like, I think Bruce Brown trade, I think that's a sign that, like, again, Marks is still looking at the margins and still thinking, okay, let's make a little bit better here at this spot, as opposed to only thinking about James Harden. But, you know, KD, Kyrie, sure, I know the buzz about them is that, like, they're grumpy dudes and, you know, whatever, they're bad culture guys. I don't think that. Particularly for Durant, and for Kyrie, I don't think that's, like, 100% true. I just don't. I think he's just a different person. And James Harden, if he's brought onto this thing, he's never won a championship. We know that he's struggled in the playoffs. But he's also, like, the Rockets were the best team to challenge the Warriors at the time when Harden was leading them, besides the Cleveland Cavaliers when they meet in the finals against the Warriors. So, like, the culture of the Rockets, not great, but Harden, you know, everything that he did, he gave everything he had to the team. He loves basketball. I don't know. I don't think it's dead. Like, I don't think they're cultureless. They're not TGI Fridays in 1965. I think
the epicenter of culture.
The epicenter of culture.
And now two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Can I tell you one thing? I want to chafe a little. I'm chafing a little bit. So Kyrie Irving gets shit on all the time, right? Everyone hates him because of what happened in Boston. Kyrie, oh, what an amazing situation that Kyrie had in Boston. Why would he ever want to leave Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Aaron Baines, right? Oh, why would he want to do that? Okay. We're getting tweets right now that Gordon Hayward's going to opt out of $34 million to get away from Boston. Al Horford did the exact same thing.
Okay.
He opted out of being a Celtic to go play for the 76ers, a team that also really doesn't have a great culture. Kyrie didn't want to be in Boston, and he chose as a free agent to go home to Brooklyn, but, you know, he was a Nets fan growing up. There is an exodus of super talented players who arrive in Boston thinking one thing, and they all want to get out. Now, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are still there, but they're also, like, rookie contract guys.
Wreaking havoc, the two of them. That's what they're doing.
Going towards on the culture, right? So they don't really have the flexibility. But Gordon Hayward's saying no, potentially. Let me just make sure I'm getting this 100% right, because from what I'm seeing on the Twitters, is that, oh, but Enes Kanter's opting in because he's not going to make any money in the NBA. But Gordon Hayward and the Knicks are eyeing Gordon Hayward. Decision on his $34 million deal is due this afternoon, so this is probably going to be up after it. Regardless, we know that Gordon Hayward wants to leave the Celtics, and he's willing to maybe give back $34 million to do so. So I just think, like, again, we all shit on Kyrie Irving. I get it. He says some stuff that he probably shouldn't say. It's totally fine. Mark Stein from New York Times is reporting that Hayward will decline, most likely will decline that $34 million. But we never talk about Boston because Brad Stevens, he's amazing. Danny Ainge, what a genius. He ripped off the Nets and he was able to get all those draft picks and still compete. Oh, my Lord. We all love Marcus Smart because he dives on the ground for basketballs, which I love too. I love Marcus Smart.
Sure.
I just think the microscope, instead of being fixed on Kyrie Irving specifically, we should tilt it northward up 95. Though if you drive to Boston from New York, never take 95. Take the Merritt, go through Hartford, and cut across Hartford east to go to Boston. Mike, never take 95.
I would never go to Boston on any highway or take any plane or any mode of transportation to go to Boston. That would never happen, okay?
A backwater town.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like, there needs to be a thorough analysis of why things aren't working out in Boston. There were reports 2 days ago that the Celtics were trying to offer Kemba Walker to anyone to get within the top 7 picks or whatever. So it's like, maybe it's because the way they treat players that isn't so great. And I can guarantee you that Jason Tatum probably will force his way out of Boston at some point after he signs that second contract that will be the max contract. You know, not that I know anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, the way things have been going, guys don't want to stay in Boston for long. So,
well, there it is.
Before we hate on Kyrie Irving all the time, I think you should look at the facts. And the facts show you that there are a lot of fraudulent ballots in Wayne County, Michigan, Brian.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, culture is it's a nebulous, mostly marketing kind of term. I mean, that's really
a fickle beast.
That's really what it is. And the thing is, it's like, I think mostly what it is, it's just it mostly suggests like operational functionality. That's really what I think. Like, are you guys normal? Do you like not screw up the easy stuff? That for me is what really like culture like means at this level. You know, there's certain franchises that just don't do that. They don't function.
It's sort of like how, like, when I meet new parents, like when I'm out with Rowan and you're at like a playground, Rowan's my son, and we're at a playground and you there's another parent there with their kid and you don't know if you should talk to them. You just want to get enough from like any little bit of conversation to be like, are you normal?
Yeah.
And if you are, like, great.
You're not going to trip and fall backwards over my kid if I let him play near you for too long.
Yeah. Just like, how can I suss that out?
Yeah.
And if you are, fine. And that's really what the NBA basketball is like. It's like,
that's good.
Are you going to make my life worse or just like a neutral element in my life?
Yeah.
And the Nets, you can't spell neutral without Nets.
There you go. And we used to be a dysfunctional situation, you know, so we know better than most what that looks like, you know?
What a great show.
We did it again. Like, I can't believe it. Another classic in the can.
I think we should prepare ourselves and you all listening to for the possibility.
Oh, emergency. We're going to get your hammer out. Okay. Put it on your desk.
November 22nd is a Sunday. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I wonder if the Rockets will request that the trade be actually go through the 27th, which would be the Friday after Thanksgiving. That's the best time to bury it. That's also my prediction for when Trump will actually concede the election.
Mm. The hammer, if you didn't understand, the hammer is for the glass case that protects the alarm that you pull for the emergency podcast. Like, I didn't know if everyone was on the same page.
I would love to specially order a glass case just so I can smash it when James Harden. Mm. And I'll have like a little picture of James Harden in there and I'll smash it.
Mm. But that would be, yeah. Good idea. We should do it for Twitter. Do it for the memes, Mike.
And then
Yeah,
Brian,
yeah.
We also have to do our cocktails episode.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
Speaking of TGI Fridays, again,
we got to wait till the Harden decision because that'll really inform our menu. I think.
What kind of cocktail would you make for like representative of James Harden? Just off the top.
Well, I can't. Do you realize how long it takes me to come up with these? I can't just spitball this. You out of your mind?
It's the thing I really put a lot of pride into when we do it.
And we'll have our second picture on the Instagram after that. Just once every year, we can put one image. It's a lot. There's a lot to do. Anyone know how to work Instagram? Want to do that for us? Hit us up. netspot@gmail.com. We need some help with that. Mike, you need some help with
I do
being
a lot of things.
I was trying to give you a compliment at the end of that. I couldn't figure it out.
Aww.
Yeah. But you did great. Hey, great show. And thanks for everybody for listening. At BK Glue Guys on Twitter. We're going to fire up the Discord again soon. Probably be streaming again once games are on illegally. We'll figure that out. So all good things coming. All the classics. And we'll see you there next time on the Glue Guys.